1 Timothy chapter 6. Someone wisely compared life to the dash between the birth date and the death date on a tombstone. I think that's a pretty good description. That little dash encapsulates all that we do from the time we arrive on earth at birth until we die. And thinking of life in this regard ought to motivate us to action. And I want us to consider tonight, from this verse we're going to be looking at and the two verses surrounding it, we're going to be looking at verses 6, 7, and 8, but 7 is our text, but we'll look at all three of them. So let's read those three verses. Verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The first action that we ought to take here to, as we ponder our dash, you think about that little dash, and all of us have been to gravesides. We've seen, you know, born 1829, dash until 1899 or whatever. You know, those kind of dashes in between. That little dash represented their whole life. And as we think about that, we need to think realistically. Verse number 7, God tells us that we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. You know, as we entered life, we came with nothing. You know, there was a lady on our street that was supposed to have a baby on Friday. Haven't seen her since Friday. I saw her on Thursday. Haven't seen her since, so she probably had her baby. But, you know, when that happens, the little babe enters into the world with absolutely nothing. You know, we all entered in as helpless babes. We had no clothing. We had no provisions of our own. We had no means of sustaining our own life. We had no name. We had no talents. You name it, we didn't have it. We came with absolutely nothing. And all of us arrived the same way. And the Apostle Paul here tells us that when we depart, we're going to depart the same way. We're going to leave it all behind. And leave everything we have, including our physical body. And when we came to this earth, we actually had a physical body that we got. But when we leave, you leave that behind too, and your spirit is all that goes. Now, it is true that our physical body, God tells us He's going to raise it from the dead and renew it and give us an immortal change to it. But that day will come. But when we actually leave, we leave in spirit. We read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So the moment we leave the body, we're present with the Lord. And that's not our body, that's our spirit. And so we know that the spirit will leave even our body. So when we depart, we take nothing with us, only our spirit goes. And for those who do not know the Lord, their spirit will instantly be in hell. And that's sad. We have a good record of this from Jesus' own lips. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Very sad story in many respects. But in the story, verses 22 and 23 of Luke chapter 16, Jesus said, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." When it talks about Lazarus and Abraham's bosom, the bosom being your stomach or your, you know, the idea of he was being comforted or hugged by Abraham in the presence of God. And so he was comforted. The rich man did not know the Lord was in hell. Very sad situation. Sadly, many today believe that death ends everything. You know, I've talked to a lot of people. They say, "When I'm dead, I'm dead. That's the end of the story." But that's not what the Bible tells us. And they may strive to enjoy their dash to the fullest, and they don't give any thought to eternity. They live their lives to fill their little dash with as much fun and enjoyment as possible, and don't give any thought to beyond that. And our part as Christians is to try to help them to see that that's not the way to go. We need to spend time thinking about our eternity, not just our dash, because the dash isn't going to last. we have an eternity ahead of us. Luke chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. Jesus told of a wealthy man who was living for his dash, wasn't considering God. And there he says, of this man, he says, the man was saying, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" People don't think about that. We can store up all the stuff of this life, but when we die, you leave it all behind. And, you know, as we prepare to move, we think, you know, all this stuff we've stored up for 31 years. It's just stuff. And when we leave it all behind, we don't have to fret about it, because if we dropped over dead, we'd leave it all behind anyway. Because we're not going to take it with us. And so it's just things that we accumulate in this life. And we leave behind all that we accumulate. Commentator named David Guzik said, "The things which make a man rich in this world mean nothing in the world to come." It's very true. You think about the things that make a person rich in this world. Money, fame, investments, treasures. Don't mean a thing later on. Once he's dead, it's gone. The richest person who ever lived and the poorest person who ever lived both leave the same thing when they die. They leave all that they've collected during the dash. No matter how rich or poor we are, we're going to leave it all behind. And I'm not teaching you anything new. You already know these things. But it's a good reminder for us to keep our focus right. And as I came across this passage recently in my Bible study, and was realizing, you know, that's in many respects what we're doing now as we pack up and get rid of things and prepare to make a major move in our lives. We, you know, there's things that we had collected. And all of it would be left behind if we dropped over dead. And so we're not really losing anything by leaving a lot of that behind. And for this reason, God's reminding us that life, that little dash between our birth and death, is not about collecting treasures. It's not. The second action we ought to take as we ponder our dash is to be content with what God gives us. Verse number 8. "Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." It is God who supplies our needs. God gives us our food and our clothing and so much more. He's very gracious to us. God gives us all that we need. And we have, we may not have as much as some other people have, but we have what we need. You know, we could all think of people that have more than we have. But we have all that we need. God's taking care of us. Because of this, we ought to take time to count our blessings. We sing that song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." It's interesting, when we were in Papua New Guinea, the New Guineans sing it, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, name them two by two and three by three." And, you know, it is really true. We've got many, many blessings. And we don't have to have a lot of things to enjoy the blessings of God. God's good to us, and we need to remember that and focus on that. And God urges us to be content with His provisions. When a person gains earthly treasures, he increases his stress. So he increases his stress when you gain more. All right? He soon learns that treasures do not satisfy the longing of his soul. All right? So the more we get, the more we have to protect, the more we have to get insurance to cover it, to protect ourselves, and all these things. And it puts more stress on people. And some people that have millions are very stressed out, unhappy people, even though they got millions of dollars. And they do not get, these riches don't give them peace. In fact, they often rob their peace. Solomon recognized this when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He spent the entire book there focusing on life under the sun compared to life with God. life under the sun is the life on earth. And he says, it's vain and empty. Doesn't satisfy. Doesn't meet the need. And he says there in chapter 2, verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon had so much. He was one of the richest men who ever lived. He had millions, probably billions, of gold and treasures. And yet he said, I've got everything I want, everything I could possibly buy, and it doesn't satisfy. There's nothing there. It's empty. When you leave God out of the equation, it's not of any value. And that's an important thing. All through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is emphasizing to us, you can't leave God out and be happy. You know, you can have all that this world offers, but if you leave God out, you're not going to be happy. It's God that gives us the peace and the joy and the happiness that we need. And God reminds us that contentment with what He gives us is the key to fulfillment and joy. We saw that in verse number 6. We're going to look at it in a moment again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And so there needs to be contentment. But we ask ourselves, how can we learn to be content? And we can talk about it. We can know things. But to actually become content is different than just knowing, all right, I've got to do this, this, and this, and I'll be content. No, we can know how, but it's something that has to take place deep down inside. And as we look at that verse number 6, we find our third action. He says, live godly with contentment. Live godly with contentment. The Lord tells us what is great gain. Notice there, He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, He said that godliness and contentment were great gain. As we think about the word great, it's interesting. The word great comes from a Greek word, megas. And you can probably guess what words we get from megas. The word mega, we often use the word mega. That I had a mega blessing, or you know, we talk about something that's very, very big. Right? And we use that in our English language even now, as something that is very large. And God says here that it'll give us a mega blessing or great gain. A great gain, a mega gain. And God considers these things to be a great mega gain. All right, now, as we think about this, we've got to analyze the words that He's talking about here. He talks about godliness. What is godliness? Well, godliness is devotion and reverence or piety towards God. It is seeking to live holy life to please the Lord. It might say that it is striving for a godlikeness. You know, we could probably describe it as that. Striving to be like God. It is godliness. To be like God as much as we can. Have a close relationship with God. And what does contentment add to this godliness? Well, adding contentment to such godliness is like saying, godliness is all I want and all I need. Now, that's what God tells us here. He says, godliness with contentment. Godliness, if we can honestly say, all I want is to be like God and want to be as holy and godly as I can be, and I'm going to be content with that. He says, if I can be content with that, that is great, great gain. As we think on that, we need to ask ourselves, am I satisfied with living a godly life for God's glory? That's contentment. Being content in God and His provisions. To be able to honestly say, I don't really need anything more. God has provided all I need. And I really don't need any more. You know, that's the way that we ought to strive to be. To just say, God's met my needs. I don't need anything else. And sometimes we get wanting more than He has provided. But truthfully, if we can look at it in this way, this will help us. Following this practice leads to great gain. Now, is He talking about great gain in this life? Or is He talking about great gain in heaven? Well, possibly both, but probably more the final. Great gain in heaven. Jesus said a similar thing in Matthew chapter 6, turn over with me to that. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 20. Familiar verse, but let's just have a look at it and review it in our mind. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. All right, sorry, I goofed it up there. So he says, don't lay up treasures here, because they're going to be moth-eaten and thieves are going to break through and steal them. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Verse number 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right? So God wants us to lay up treasures with him in heaven, and this will be a blessing to us if we'll do that. Accumulated possessions on earth do not last, but treasures laid up in heaven do. You know, we all have had things that have been damaged, maybe damaged by moths, or damaged by shrinkage or mold or other things that happen to things that we treasure. I had a nice jacket that I got from when we bought it on our honeymoon, and it was dirty, so Melody tried washing it, but it was wool. And now it fit a little boy instead of me. Doesn't fit me anymore. So, it's a nice jacket, but it's going to be a nice jacket for somebody else, not me. But those kind of things happen. Our treasures get damaged, or they get stolen. And, you know, the key to living for things that are eternal is to just focus on living for God and for His glory. And God promises that this will be great gain and will count and last for eternity. Now, that's what we really ought to be focusing on. What else can we do that will lay up treasure in heaven? You know, you stop and think about that. What are the kind of things that we could do? He says here that godliness with contentment is great gain. But before that, there's one thing we can do that will give us great gain in heaven, and that is coming to know Christ our Savior. I mean, if you don't do that, then you're not going to lay up treasures in heaven like he's telling us to. We're not going to have this attitude of godliness with contentment until we know the Lord is our Savior. So it really has to begin there. Putting our trust in him, that is a great treasure we can lay up in heaven. Living for God's glory instead of living for ourselves, that's really the focus of godliness with contentment, but a little bit different slant on it. Financially investing in spiritual things, you know, through giving to God's work. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10 say that honor the Lord of thy substance was the first fruits of all thine increase, and so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and their presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, I will honor you, I will reward you, and some of these rewards are going to be in heaven, not just on earth. When he says, I'll honor those that give. And so when we give, and God wants us to give and be faithful in that, in supporting his work. And then sharing with the needy is very important. Remember that Jesus said that when we give even a cup of cold water in his name, that it's as if we are giving it to him. And we don't think about that. You know, somebody's thirsty. Something as simple as saying, can I get you a glass of water? If we do it because we're trying to be a testimony for Jesus Christ, he said, I will reward you for that, because you're doing it like you're doing it to me. So it's not like we have to do complicated things, but even helping in little ways, and then sharing the gospel regularly with others. Remember the verse I preached on not too long ago, Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. God says, we'll shine as stars in heaven if we will turn others to righteousness. And I know we can't force people to be saved, but we can give them opportunities. We can share the gospel with them, give them tracts, and be an encouragement to them. And we can pray for opportunities and look for opportunities and carry tracts with us. It doesn't do us much good to pray, God, would you please give me an opportunity to witness today? And then we're not ready. We've got to be prepared and ready. And I'm talking to myself too, because there's sometimes I go off on my walk in the morning, I reach my pocket, oh, no tracks. And I've been asking the Lord to help me to be a witness while I'm out. And it's, I mean, you can witness without tracks, but tracks make it a lot easier. All right. So these are ways that we can be bold. We can be most precious treasure we can ever take. You need to think about this. The most precious treasure you can ever store up in heaven is the soul of somebody else that you led to Christ. Just this past week, Melody was sorting through things and found diaries from back when we were in Papua New Guinea. And one page was full of names of people and the dates when they put their faith in Christ. I thought, it's worth it all. You know, someday we'll see those folk in heaven, and that'll be a blessing. And those are the things that we can take to heaven with us. And we can all strive to that end. Passing out tracts, you never know who might come to Christ by your faithful witness for the Lord by passing out tracts. And I think you've probably all heard that story, that little white-haired man in Sydney that passed out tracts for years and didn't know that he was doing any good at all. And then later on he found out that a whole bunch of people had gotten saved through his tracts. And, you know, that's such a blessing, because it's not that complicated and we can do it. You know, one day we will leave our dash behind. We're not anticipating it being today, but one of these days it will. We're going to leave our dash behind. And when that happens, we need to make sure that we have lived not for this dash, but for the eternity beyond that. All the stuff that we accumulate in this life means nothing in eternity. But we need to lay up treasures in heaven, and all of us can do that. It's not that impossible. You know, we can lay up treasures by being godly with contentment. Just say, I want to be godly, and I'm going to be content with that. Content with what God gives me, that's all I need. I don't need more than that. I just want to be pleasing to God. And trust in Christ as our Savior, living a godly life, financially investing, sharing with the needy, sharing the gospel regularly. All these are ways, and there's probably lots and lots more that we can do where we can be laying up treasures in heaven. And so that's something that each of us need to strive to do. And if our treasure box in heaven is lacking, then we need to begin storing up today.